Thank you, Pastor Christian and worship team. Praise the Lord. God is the God of miracles. Amen. Trust that you believe that. If you are struggling with that this morning, I hope it becomes a reality in your life even before you leave today, that God is the God of miracles. Well, we have been traveling together through the Psalms, through the Songs of Ascent, and before we get there, I have a couple of commercials. And, you know, we always have commercials. A word from our sponsor. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is our sponsor. In the bulletin this morning, you'll notice you have a purple and red box brochure that just kind of outlines the Songs of Ascent from Psalm 120 to 134. This is from the Haley Bible Handbook, and so that's there for your research and development and encouragement. We are, this morning, if you're tracking with us, we are on Psalm 129, so we're almost through this journey of moving closer to God. That was the pilgrim's desire. They would sing these psalms as songs of worship on their way to the city of God, to be in the temple of God, to dwell in the presence of God. And that was what their desire was, to move closer into fellowship with the Creator of heaven and earth. And we have that opportunity today and privilege today, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, to walk in fellowship with Him. So that's there for you. And then we have, want to highlight this morning, the blue, Pray the Word, the Holy Spirit. These are given out every week. I trust that you'll take advantage of this. They are beautiful prayers based on Scripture. And written by a dear sister in the Lord that are serving the Lord in International Church in Hong Kong, if I remember, or could be Thailand. I'm not sure geographically where, but we're so grateful for their input. And just want to point out, and maybe this is the desire of your heart this morning, that today's prayer begins with connecting the heart, my heart, to the heart of the Father. It says, Father, thank you for sending the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, to teach me, remind me of the things that Jesus said. Thank you for His presence with me forever. Next paragraph says, forgive me, Father, for the times that I resist the Holy Spirit, even though I know that He is the one who draws me closer to you, convicts of sin, and leads me into deeper truth. How thankful I am that the Holy Spirit helps me in my weakness, that when I don't know what or how I should pray, He intercedes for me in agreement with your will. Tenderize my heart, O God, and make me sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I ask that you remove any hardness of heart that still remains in me and give me a heart of flesh. Holy Spirit, reveal even the hidden sin in my life as I wait on you. Beautiful prayer this morning. Trust that is the desire of your heart to hear from God this morning. And as we come into His Word, we come into that place where we quiet ourselves, hopefully ask God to captivate our thoughts and our minds so we can hear from Him, from His Holy Word. Not my word, not Pastor Ted's words, but, oh, may it be God's word. And it is God's word. And so we're going to look at God's word together this morning. And so if you have your Bibles or your smartphone, we trust that you will turn with me to Psalm 129. Psalm 129. I've entitled this, A Faith That Outlasts Them All. A faith that outlasts them all. Psalm 129. So here's some statements for you. When life gives you lemons, what are we supposed to do? Make lemonade. You've heard that, right? Okay. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. What does that mean? Sometimes when I've heard that statement say, when the going gets tough, well, I'm tough, the tough get going. That means I'm going to get away from the tough things that are going on. But that doesn't really necessarily mean that. What that means is that when the going gets tough, I'm going to be tough, and I'm going to embrace that difficult moment, and I'm going to overcome that difficulty. That's pretty much what the definition means. It used to say that when there are problems, strong people work hard to solve them. Eugene Peterson, in his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, which is, encourage you to pick up a copy, read that. It's his study on the Song of Ascents. He made this statement. He says, everyone wants to be happy, to be blessed. Too many people are willfully refusing to pay attention to the one who wills our happiness and ignorantly supposing that the Christian way is a harder way to get what they want than doing it on their own. They are wrong. Wow. They are wrong. God's ways and God's presence are where we experience the happiness that lasts. The world wants to tell us differently. The world wants to say, oh, no, no, it's what you get now. It's what you enjoy now. It's instant gratification. But following Christ, receiving Christ, walking with Christ, that develops a faith that will outlast them all. Let's look at the scripture together this morning. I'm going the wrong way. I'm going to learn this. Clicker. Here we go. All right. Here we go. We got it. Psalm 129. This is from the English Standard Version. Psalmist writes here, greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, greatly they have afflicted me from my youth. Yet they have not prevailed against me. The powers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous, he has cut the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be put to shame and turned backward. Let them be like the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor the binder of sheaves his arms. Nor do those who pass by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you, we bless you. In the name of the Lord. What a song. Now, if I was to ask you what kind of genre this song would be and what style, some of you say, oh, yeah, it's going to be heavy metal rock and roll because I like verse 4. The Lord is righteous. Sorry about that. Okay, but no, I'm not. Because the Lord is righteous. And he cuts the cords of the wicked. Hold on to that verse. It's the heartbeat of this psalm. We might say, well, it's a good country song because, you know, gloom, despair, agony on me. Whoa, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Whoa, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Whoa, because we see what the psalmist says. What does he say there? The first two verses, he repeats it. Okay, he says that he is afflicted since youth. So it'd be a good country song, a good sad song. But it really is a victorious song. Compare this to Psalm 124. If you turn back a little bit, it echoes that same style. The hit song Psalm 124. It repeats in Psalm 129, if the Lord had not been on our side, who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And here the psalmist is kind of repeating that in a different way, in a beautiful way. The psalmist here recounts the nation of Israel's affliction and discovers in the midst of oppression, that's verses 1 through 4, and opposition, which is verses 5 through 8, the obedience and lack of obedience to God results in perseverance under trials. This is due to God's intervention and faithfulness to his people. You see, the psalmist is on his way to go into the presence of God, but he's saying, man, ever since I was young, I've been afflicted. I have been dealing with this oppression and opposition. But I'm discovering that God is working in me. Some of that affliction may come because of choices I have made. And we can look back at the nation of Israel, can't we? And we can see the choices they made. Oh, Moses sent out the spies to check out the promised land. 10 of them, remember? How many came back with, yeah, we could do this. The God has given us victory, too. How many said, no way, they're giants. We are just going to get swallowed up and defeated. 8. They missed it. So what happened with that choice? What took place when they made that choice to not step out in faith, believing and trusting God? They wandered in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. So sometimes affliction comes because of choices we make. Sometimes affliction comes because of whose we are. Because of whose we are. If you've professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a child of God, and guess what? The enemy of your soul doesn't like that, doesn't want that, and wants you to be defeated, discouraged, disillusioned, down in the dumps. Come up with another D word. Delirious. Whatever it may be, he doesn't want you to walk in victory. So you will experience affliction. Sometimes you'll experience affliction outwardly because others don't understand your faith and you are persecuted for that. And we have brothers and sisters around the world today who are persecuted because of their faith, physically persecuted. And we have others who are afflicted. They're afflicted emotionally. They're afflicted mentally. They're afflicted. Because the enemy of your soul doesn't want you to experience the peace of Christ or the joy of the Lord. So he's coming after you. He's coming after you. Psalmist says, ever since I was young, I've been afflicted. Now, in context with this, it dealt with probably most likely that of the Babylonian captivity, where they were captive under Babylon for 70 years, and then finally they were released, and they're on their way again to Jerusalem, and we're free, we're free. Maybe in context, it was when they experienced freedom from leaving Egypt after 400 years or so more of being enslaved under that regime, and now they were free. The Red Sea was parted. They walked through on dry land, and they were delivered from their enemies, and they finally felt free, free indeed. And so they experienced the freedom in Christ, and they say, well, ever since we've been afflicted, since our youth, let Israel say, yes, there is oppression, there is opposition that takes place. That word, afflicted. That word afflicted. And we see that throughout Scripture. We'll come back to that. But it's, James talks about it. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That's that affliction, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's our attitude as we go through it. And you might feel that affliction today. The meaning of affliction, it's a Hebrew word. It's not tartar. We like to go out to eat sometimes in a nice Thai restaurant, and you can get an appetizer, and it's tuna tartar. It's delicious. It's really good. But that's not how you say that word. The Hebrew word is sarar. That's, I think that's it. But it means this. It means to cramp, to be in affliction, to besiege, to bind up, to be in distress, to be oppressed, to be into trouble. It means that physically I would picture a person just wound up so much so, almost in a fetal position, that they're just cramping. They can't move. They're restricted. They are feeling this sense of affliction and despair. The psalmist says, we have been afflicted since we are youth. Paul says it this way, we are afflicted in every way, he says. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. What? We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. In other words, Paul knew the secret of persevering under affliction. That's why he could exclaim, hey, I am afflicted, but I'm not crushed. I am going through it, but I'm not driven to despair. I've got, yes, the world may seem crashing in on me, but guess what? I'm strong because my feet are planted upon a firm foundation, the rock of Jesus Christ. So I'm not forsaken, not destroyed. So guess what? I'm trading my sorrows for the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. So what does it mean to do that? Wow. In the message, it states this Corinthian passage this way. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unordained clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are at constant risks for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, you're getting in on the very best. Again, we see this psalm. It says, greatly they have afflicted me. Let Israel say, greatly they have afflicted me. But then he says, they've not prevailed. They've not prevailed. In fact, Eugene Peterson in the message says, they've kicked me around. I've been kicked down and kicked around, but they haven't, you know, crushed me in that sense. Now, how have they been afflicted? Well, it says, verse 3, the plowers plowed upon my back, a picture of farming. And the Israelite is like the ground being plowed upon, and the oppressor is the one that has the plow, and they're just plowing up the ground, causing havoc and pain and torture. They've made long their furrows. But then we see, in the middle of this song, the solution. The Lord is righteous. He has cut the cords of the wicked. Now I'm going through the affliction. I may not be experiencing my deliverance yet, but my Lord knows what I'm going through. He knows the difficulties that I'm facing. He's knowing the affliction that I'm under. And guess what? The Lord is righteous. And because of his faithfulness, God will intervene in his time for his glory and honor to bring about my deliverance. Hallelujah. So may all then, and then verses 5 and so on, he goes into a prayer. Wow. So what do we learn from this? I see First of all, that we are to put our faith in God, it's going to result in being afflicted. That's not very encouraging, is it? I thought the Christian life was a bed of roses. I thought we could just, you know, all my problems would go away when I accepted Jesus. And those of us who walked with the Lord know, well, that's not necessarily true. But when I go through the struggles, when I go through the problems, when I go through the difficulties, guess what? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth, is right there beside me and with me to walk with me through them, to fellowship with me through them, to help me to be a light and a witness in them and through them. He has not abandoned me. He has not abandoned his children. Putting your faith in God will result in persevering. They have not prevailed against me. How can you persevere under trial? How? You count it all joy. Well, I'm counting all joy that the plow is plowing my back and I'm getting ripped up to shreds. No, I count it all joy. How did Jesus count it all joy? Hebrews says he counted it all joy when he looked forward. He looked beyond the cross. He looked through that and he was on the other side and he counted it all joy, suffering for you and for me. Why? Because he brought salvation for you and for me. And he counted it all joy. And we can rely upon the strength of the Lord in the midst of the trial. We can look to him. We may not know the answer, but we can put our faith and confidence in him in the midst of the struggle. That's what the psalmist was saying. Hey, God is righteous. I know God. And God knows that I'm his child, and he's looking out for me. He's got my back. So he's going to cut off the wicked, this oppressor. One scholar said, oh, you can imagine the farmer just being the persecutor to that Israelite being the plowed up ground, and all of a sudden the Lord cuts off the yokes of the oxen and the plow, and it's just left there, and the oxen are still going, and the farmer's still going. He doesn't even know that he's been cut off. And yet, that ground who represents Israel has been rescued and delivered. Putting your faith in God will result in experiencing pain in the affliction. That's what verse 3 is about. And we can say, yes, we've known believers in Christ who have loved Jesus with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and they have experienced pain in their testimony for Christ. They've been persecuted physically. They've been persecuted mentally. They've been persecuted emotionally. There's pain. But when we come back to that scripture, we see as well that God will result, following him, he'll bring deliverance of the affliction, deliverance. All those years that Israel cried out under Egypt's bondage, God didn't forget them. He knew until his time was perfect, and he brought Moses in to deliver them. So the word says, the Lord is righteous. He's cut the cords of the wicked. And then he goes into this prayer. May all who hate Zion, which is the city of God, what are they to do? Be put to shame. Be brought backward. Let them be like. What are they to be like? Well, they're to be like the grass on housetops that withers and does not grow. And they are to be like the reaper that is not able to fill his hand when he goes out to reap for his crop, or the binder of sheaves when he collects it in his arms, may it be empty. And what are they to be like? They're to be like those who do pass by, but do not give the blessing of the Lord upon the wicked. In other words, when I face affliction, it's going to result in me praying. praying for my enemies. What? Praying for those who are out to get me. Praying for those who don't like me. Praying for those that I have difficulty with. I'm to pray for them. How am I to pray for them? You pray for them as Jesus would want you to pray for them. Lord, move in their hearts in such a way that you, even as we prayed, Lord, that you will tenderize their heart, remove it from a heart of stone, make it a heart of flesh, that they will respond to you in faith and obedience and trust in you as Savior and Lord. And if not, if they're going to turn against you, then Lord, bring their downfall, bring shame upon them. Well, Pastor, God is a God of love. We're not to pray for our enemies that way. There is going to come a day when God will set justice upon this earth according to his standards, his holiness, and his glory. Those who are for Christ and those who are not for Christ will be separated. And so today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when we need to pray, Lord, let those who oppose you move in such a powerful way. We sang about God as our miraculous God this morning, the God of impossibilities. Can God move the heart of politicians? Oh, I went there. Can God move the heart of the wicked? Can God still move in the heart of the unregenerate person? Yes, he can. But God wants us as his people to pray and to face the affliction in such a way that says, I'm not crushed. You may crush me, but I'm not in despair because I know the joy of the Lord is my strength and my song. This is hard, difficult to do. Putting your faith in God will result in praying, and maybe for the downfall of God's enemies, verse 5, because they are against God, therefore they're against you. Putting your faith in God will result in the prosperity of the righteous and the withering away of the wicked. That's the downfall of the wicked eventually is going to come. Verse 6 and 7, where it talks about that. There's no productivity in their life. Well, I'm looking around and I see all the rich people getting richer and all the godly people getting poorer. But oh, God knows. He knows. And he wants us to trust him and lean into him and rely upon him to do his work his way in our lives. We are called to be faithful to him. Putting your faith in God will result in not pronouncing blessings from the Lord upon the wicked. We're not to flippantly put our pearls before the swine. Well, how can I be a witness? Oh, we can be a witness. We can share God's love. We can share the good news of Jesus Christ, that all who believe in him will have everlasting life. We can share that good news, but we're not to just flippantly say, oh, the Lord bless you, when they are adamantly opposed to the things of God, when they are standing against God as the righteous one. We don't go off and pretend like everything's okay with them. We don't give God's blessing to them. That's hard. Well, aren't we to pray for them? Yes, we are. We're to pray for them, that God will work in their lives, that God will move in their lives, that God will show his grace is sufficient for them. And it may mean that we take a lot of arrows. It may mean that we get a lot of dents in our armor as a child of God. It may mean that we are crushed, but not in despair. But we do it for the Lord. Because he was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. So we honor him by honoring His word, and we treasure it. Eugene Peterson says this. He says, God sticks. I like it. God sticks to His relationship. He establishes a personal relationship with us and stays with it. The central reality for Christians is the personal, unalterable, persevering commitment God makes to us. Perseverance is not the result of our determination. It is the result of God's faithfulness. We survive in the way of faith not because we have extraordinary stamina, but because God is righteous, because God sticks with us. Christian discipleship is a process of paying more and more attention to God's righteousness and less attention to our own. Finding the meaning of our lives not by probing our moods and motives and morals, but by believing in God's will and purposes. Making a map of the faithfulness of God, not charting the rise and fall of our enthusiasms. It is out of such a reality that we acquire perseverance. Perseverance. So we look at that main thought again. The psalmist recounts the nation of Israel's affliction, discovers in the midst of oppression and opposition, the obedience and lack of obedience to God results in perseverance under trials. And this is due. This is due to God's intervention and faithfulness to His people. And that's what this psalm, this songwriter, this pilgrim is singing about. It's what I believe. How can I have a faith that allows outlasts everything? Well, it's because of God's faithfulness to me, His child. And I'm trusting in Him. Trusting in Him. So what is the Lord saying to you today, this morning, from His word? When the going gets tough, the tough, trust in the Lord. When life gives you lemons, yeah, make lemonade in that sense. How is your faith? Is it like this pilgrim, this songwriter, this singer, this psalmist? Is it prevailing over affliction? Are you experiencing the deliverance of God? Are you praying against the enemies of God? Are you standing your ground? Are you being crushed? And you need the strength of the Lord to come alongside you and help you not to be in despair or in dismay? Are you sincerely blessing the righteous and withholding that blessing from the wicked? May God give us discernment. And may we apply His word to our hearts and our lives this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word today. It's a hard word because we are creatures who do not like to experience affliction. We don't want to be bound up. We don't want to be cramped. We don't want to be in that place of bondage. We don't want to be in that place of bondage in our heart. We don't want to be in that place of bondage in our physical body. We don't want to be in a place of bondage in relationship with others. And especially, we don't want to be in that place of bondage with You. Because You've set us free. He who has Christ is free indeed. So Lord, I ask that if there's any person here this morning, watching online or in presence as we worship, that Father, that if they are experiencing affliction in the sense that I pray that You will be their strength today. That You will be their rescuer. That You will come along and build them up in their faith in such a way that they can stand. Build them up in such a way that they can lift up the shield of faith and be able to defend against the enemy's arrows. Build them up in such a way, Lord, that You will heal the brokenness that they are feeling and experiencing. And Lord, we know that the things which are impossible with men, it's impossible with us. But we know it's possible with You. So we pray that you will do that miracle, that you will work amazing, in amazing ways, and that in that healing, this will be a testimony to others. Lord, we ask this for your glory, and in your name we pray.